Peace and blessings, everybody. You're listening to The Good Brother Experience, where it is I, the good brother, the original black man. I am Reek. What you doing? How you doing? How you been? One, make sure you're drinking that water. Secondarily, rate, review, and subscribe to my program. Last but not least, if you would like to speak to me directly and you want me to read your email, please email me at goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. Once again, it's goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. And while I'm doing this introductory shit, I figured I'd tell you guys Jack in the Box is going down in a major way. It's happening November 12th. And one of my biggest supporters from afar that lives all the way in Pennsylvania is the one, the only, Cherry Poppins. Cherry Poppins, where you at with it?
Yeah, what's good?
Fucking Cherry's here. She's with her annoying ass dog. All kind of shit is going down.
Yes, exactly. I would like to say I am a very big supporter of Jack in the Box, and I got a list of friends that I'm looking at right now, and it is 7 of us who will be on our way to New York to go to this event, and we cannot fucking wait.
So, when is the last Jack in the Box that you came to?
The last one I went to was last summer in July. That was the last one. I'm not going to lie. I'm nervous about the cold.
What is there to be nervous about? It's November. It's probably going to be...
dressed like a hoe.
I mean, you can to a degree. All you need is leather pants and a crop top and a jacket.
Yeah. Is there going to be a coat check?
There can be. We can make sure that there is one.
I think that would be a great idea. Because then I'll just take the coat off and be like, blah, we here.
Nah, that makes perfect sense. So, you know, before we even get into that, what was your experience the last Jack in the Box that you came to? How did you enjoy the party?
Oh, it was so fun. I think the only thing that went wrong for me was that I did not eat first. Because when it, you know, people who know you, they know the party. They know that it's drinks and it's unlimited drinks and you're just drinking. And let me tell you, the girls... because it was all girl bartenders. The girls, they were pouring the drinks, and they were fast, and you were not waiting for drinks. So, yeah, it was so fun. We were dancing. I got to meet people that I only knew from the internet, so that was cool. It was a vibe. It was a good vibe. And honestly, if I lived in New York, I would have went home satisfied. I wouldn't have stayed out after that. I would have went home satisfied.
So, from a woman's perspective, because I always find this to be interesting, what a man finds as a popping party and what a woman finds as a popping party. So, as a woman, you in there, you're getting your drink on, whatever. What to you makes the party popping and what to you makes the party whack?
Okay, so what makes the party popping is that everyone is dancing, everyone is mingling, there's not a long line waiting for drinks, because that's important, because you're not having fun if you're just waiting in line. I think what makes the party, the music was great. So what makes the party not popping? Not good music, not good DJs, not fun DJs. What makes the party not popping? Whack people. There were so many dope people at this party that I met that night. Still following them on Instagram. We still talking on Instagram. One person that comes to mind, shout out to DJ Tumbo. That's what makes a popping party. You got to have good people, good drinks, good music, and it's emphasis on the good people, because the good people are that's what's going to make it. And it was really good vibes. It was really good people. There wasn't no shooting afterwards. It was just good vibes. Yo, the laundromat next door let me use their bathroom. It was really good vibes.
So, here's why I never get to understand. It looks as though that there's two different mindsets with women in regards to partying. There's women that want to do what you're saying, be free, mingle, dance, you know what I mean? Fall in line with the music that's going on, fall in line with whatever vibration that the party's bringing, whatever have you. Then there's another set of women that just really come there just to be seen. They just want to drink and just listen to good music while with their friends, but really have a certain set of like isolationism that they come with it. They didn't really come to mingle with people. They didn't really come to dance with anyone. They just really come just to look cute and just be outside. How do men dictate the type of mindset that a woman has based on looking at her?
You got to see what she's doing. Like me, I'm a talking ass bitch. So like, if you see the woman talking and talk, because I mean, I feel like I'm not a man, but I feel like men go to parties, they see one and they watch it. They see the one that they like, and then they're watching her for a little bit to see how she's moving. So if you see that she's talking to multiple people, people coming up to her and she's like giving them interaction, she's going up to the bartender, she's making conversation with the bartender, she's the one that you can go up to, definitely. If she's not afraid to move away from her friends, she's definitely the one.
Okay, so now we got to dive into something that's even more important, because it's understood that women don't shoot their shot. So I feel as though men don't need to teach men these things, because we can only teach from a hunter's point of view. But as a woman that enjoys being approached by guys, what are some things that niggas need to implement into their 1-2 in order to get the number?
Number one, don't be ugly. If you're ugly, you're not getting no play.
Wait. Before you get into your bag, I've seen plenty of men that women have said are unattractive that got groovy because they knew how to dress, or they had a good cologne selection, or they were funny. So I don't think I can agree with you.
No, but no, because if you're, what I'm saying is that if you are walking up to me at a party, I didn't notice you the whole night, and you ugly, I'm not giving you no play. I'm not even looking at your outfit because I'm looking at your face. I'm trying to see what you're talking about. If I'm in the same vicinity as you, I'm watching you, I'm like, damn, he not that attractive, but he could throw some shit on. Let me see what he... And then you hear him talking, and you're like, oh, okay, this guy's funny. But you can't be ugly or walk up to me and tell me a joke and think you're going to get the panties.
What's ugly? Let's start from there. What's ugly?
What's ugly? Michael Blackson.
Michael Blackson has 1,700 girlfriends.
That nigga got money.
Right, but you're not going to know who's broken, who's not, if you just go based it on being ugly.
If you walk up to me, how am I supposed to know you got money and you ugly?
All right, what's step number two? So you can't be ugly. What else?
You could be ugly, whatever. Some girls like ugly guys. But I'm just saying, if you're walking up to me, at least have a haircut. You have to have a haircut. Don't be a hatfish. But also, step number two, I feel like, hey, I feel like ideally this is how I would like somebody to shoot their shot at me. They'll walk up to me, hey, my name is Mark. You are very attractive. And I see you do your thing, walking around, talking to these people. What's your name? And I'm going to say, oh, I'm Cherry. And then you should say something along the lines like, you know, where you from? You from around here? And I'm like, no, I live in Philly. Because then I'm going to tell you, for me, I'm acting like I'm at your party right now. Mm-hmm. For me, if I'm at your party and I tell the niggas, nah, I live in Philly, oh, it's a dub right then and there. Because niggas ain't coming to Philly.
That's facts.
So then they wouldn't want to shoot their shot no more. Okay, you know, you want a drink? Okay, I'll get you a drink. Have a nice day, right? But if I lived in New York, I should say, oh, you know, I live in this area. Oh, that's cool. You know, who do you know? The main conversation with me. Who do you know? How'd you find out about this place? How'd you find out about this party? Oh, you know, Reek, that's my boy. Oh, you know, Reek, I know Reek too. You know, that like have conversation. And then at the end of this 5-minute conversation, that it was so good, because it should be good. Hey, you know, I'm about to move around this party a little bit more, but and talk to my friends, whatever. Can I get your number to call you sometime? And then I'll give you my number, and then we go about our merry way, and then you call me the next day.
You know, I find that to be interesting, because my technique whenever I've gone to a party and had to get a number of somebody who I thought was attractive. I don't like to wait too long to get to the number because I'm not trying to socialize for too long while we're in a party. If we're at a lounge, that's one thing. If I'm at a coffee shop, that's another thing. But when you got music and liquor and people and all these moving parts and atmospherics and the lights is dark and DJ's yelling and tip the bartender and all this type of shit, that's not the ideal place to where you can just sit and really lock in with somebody and have a conversation. So I usually keep it to about like 3 to 4 questions. Try to get the number within that 3 to 4 questions and I get up out of there. Are you saying this is not sound technique?
3 to 4 questions?
It's not about, so, you know, I'm happy you asked that. So this is my opinion, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. When I'm walking toward you, you're looking directly at me. So you can't identify how much money I have. You can't identify how funny I am. You can't identify how smart I am. None of that shit. You pretty much got to like what you see as I'm walking over to you. As I'm walking over to you, you're looking at me and you give me the up and down. Okay, cool. Then you're hearing my voice. From that, I believe I have like a 45-second window to get in, introduce myself, get to know your name, get to know your number, and ask to talk to you later. Because I feel as though even if you don't know how smart I am or how much money I have, you can, in that 45 seconds, gauge if you want to at least text me or talk to me later. Am I wrong about this?
I don't know, because I feel like, you know what I think too, in general, like with dating in general these days, niggas don't make you wants them. They think that because you approach them, it's just like, oh, give me the number. But it's like, what did you just do in this 45 seconds that's going to make me want to talk to you later?
You don't think it's situational? Because I personally, before you even answer that, I personally don't feel as though it's ideal for me to sit there and lock in with you at a party. I feel as though it's my job to, because I can't control where I meet you. I believe in that. I believe where I am, based on where I am, if I see you at a party or at a social function where you didn't leave the house thinking that you was about to have a 20-minute conversation with a nigga. So in my head, I'm like, okay, if this is where I'm meeting you and I'm attracted to you, if I can just get your number, I can show you how interesting I am later. But we can't get to the later unless I get the number now.
I understand your point 1,000%. But a bitch like me is gonna be like, no, you got my Instagram.
Ah, okay. I'm happy you said that. The Instagram shit.
We didn't vibe, and I don't want to ghost you.
Okay, so this is where I'm at with the Instagram shit. Women have said to me before, yo, it's a crazy world out there. You can Google my number, and you can get my address. I don't have any kind of comfort with you. So if you just take my Instagram, we can converse from there. I'm always on the app anyway. And then from there, you can evolve to the number. Is this the type of person that you are?
I feel like, I think it just really depends. Because I'm not giving my Instagram, it's situational. I'm not just giving my Instagram like off the rip. It's just like, you know, you're saying you didn't do anything to make me want to give you my number. So maybe you can make me want to give you my number on Instagram. Because at the end of the day, you are pursuing me. I'm not pursuing you.
Nah, this is definitely facts. And from what I'm understanding, there's two things. Either you get you give the Instagram up so you can at least have the opportunity to speak to somebody. And if they're not vibing, you just unfollow them. Or you're just doing it because you don't want to give the number up. And as opposed to curving them, like, all right, fuck it, maybe I can get a follower out of the situation. Because in my dealings, whenever somebody gave me their Instagram, it really hasn't gone anywhere. But whenever they gave me their number, it's gone everywhere. But I have the same technique to get the Instagram that I do to get the number. So why not just give the number up?
I'm not giving no nigga my number in 45 seconds. That's all I'm saying. That's the moral of the story.
Hey, what's going on? My name is such and such. What's your name? Where are you from? Who you here with? Oh, okay. You got plans after this? Okay, now I understand. Look, the music is super duper loud. Can I just get your number so I can speak to you later so I'm not yelling in your ear? That's usually what I've said in the past. Are you telling me this is not sound enough to get your number?
I'm not excited about you. You didn't make me excited at all.
How do you do that at a goddamn party with the DJ yelling, the host yelling, and the music?
I feel like the last time I was at your party, I was talking to people.
Ah, okay.
I was talking. We were by the bar. The bar wasn't as loud as by the dance floor. Niggas was talking.
So niggas need to put more focus into being more interesting in the moment.
I think niggas need to put more focus in them being interesting, period. Because what the fuck these niggas even like to do these days?
And, you know, I'm so happy you said that. I know a little bit more about you than the average person because you've entrusted me with being in your close friends. And yeah. I've known you for a number of years now. So yeah. I know your ideals in regards to dating and your philosophies, but I don't really feel as though the common person knows your ideals. And of course, because they don't know you, but I feel like you represent a good collective of women, but a lot of women that I've experienced don't have the ability to articulate their thoughts the way that you do. So
they're dummies.
So for the listening public, because I have a large male audience, what is wrong with niggas' technique as far as approaching women these days?
I kind of feel like niggas these days, it's like they throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. So a couple weeks ago, my cousin and I, we were at a festival, we were walking, and this guy literally grabs her arm and saying, "Yo, you pretty as shit, what's your name?" And it's like, yo, what? I feel...
That's nasty.
Right? Or just like, I went to a Sixers game one time and this guy was walking past me and he literally held his phone out as he was walking past me. Like, yo, what's your number? What's your number? What's your number? I was like, yo, are you dead ass right now? Like, what? Niggas don't introduce themselves, one. Like, yeah, they don't introduce themselves. It's more like they walk up, yo, you mad pretty. What's your name? What's your Instagram? Can I get your number? It's like, yo, who are you? And how many kids you got, first of all? But I think that's what's wrong with, like, just how guys, like, approach women. They just literally, maybe they're excited. Oh, my gosh, I just had a thought. Maybe they're so excited that because they see someone and they think they are attractive and they want to get to know them, but they are so excited that they just kind of panic and just do whatever.
Well, speaking from a guy, I pretty much have an understanding of how niggas work, one, by being one. And, although that different people have different skills, I feel as though people don't have certain skill sets that others have. And what I mean by that is, you know, I'm a part of an improv show, right? I do this shit called This Fun Date. I do that shit every month. October 8th for everybody that wants to pull up. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because having improvisational skills is essential when speaking to women because every woman isn't the same. Women aren't a monolith, right? What this girl might think is exciting, this girl might think is trash, right? So if you don't have the ability to think on the fly, you're going to be in trouble. It's very similar to women who view men as romantic. Everybody doesn't have that skill of being romantic. People aren't creative in that capacity. So what I believe happens, and matter of fact, not even believe, I'm going to speak in absolutes. What I know is happening is niggas don't walk out their house thinking they're about to meet Cherry. But as the days go along, like, oh shit, who's that over there? Who's that fucking light-skinned girl with the ass over there? Then they go over there with the bravery to approach you, but they don't necessarily have the skill to know what to say in order to land the deal. So what ends up happening is like, all right, fuck it. I've gotten other women this way. Other women have responded to, hey, yo, shorty, what's good? Other women have looked at me, looked at my chain, looked at my sneakers, and I just put my phone in their chest and they gave me the number. I'm about to just do what you said and throw spaghetti at the wall, because when you don't have the ability to curtail what you're saying to someone based on what you're seeing, you just got to go with Old Faithful.
Okay. I see that. I also think, too, a lot of times when I don't, how do I say this? I think a lot of times too, guys aren't really like approaching women at this age in my life, right? I would like someone to approach me with like real intention to get to know me. And I don't really think that that's the intention. It's just like, oh, she looked good. All right, let me talk to her for a little bit, take her out, and try to fuck.
Yeah.
There's not real effort when people are trying, because they're not really going to try and put effort into it in the long run.
I'm happy that I can have this discussion with somebody who knows me and not someone that will be appalled with what I'm about to say, which is another reason why I was really hoping that you was available to be on my show. Let's talk about this for a few minutes, if you don't mind. So, because you're not the first woman that I've met that has said this, and there's nothing wrong with what you're saying. Let me just start off with that. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to be viewed as a piece of meat or as somebody to just hump on. You want to be appreciated for who you are, what you do, how you think, your ideals, your morals, your code of ethics, whatever have you. And I understand that, and this makes perfect sense. But in the world, niggas operate off horniness. I don't believe this is a secret. I don't think this is something that you got to read in the book. If you just look at the pattern of behavior, niggas operate off of who looks good, and hopefully you're cool afterwards. So what ends up happening is you end up in this rhythm. Like, all right, she's attractive. She's dope. I want to fuck. And in the meantime, me trying to fuck, if something happens, I'm like, hold on now. Shorty actually has more to offer than me just wanting to hump on it. Then I believe things grow. And before you say anything, because, you know, I can't see your face right now, so I don't want us to cut each other off. This is what usually happens. Matter of fact, specifically with me, I'm not going to talk about niggas right now. I'm going to talk about myself. What usually happens is if a girl's attractive, right, it's very, very rare where I meet someone that I'm actually compatible with. But my horniness doesn't cut off just because I'm not compatible with you. So what ends up happening is we're having these conversations and we're going out, we're doing these things. And I'm like, yo, I would never be your boyfriend. You're controlling. You only think in one way. You don't think in a multifaceted kind of way. You're not a layered thinker at all. You're very much so my way or the highway type person. You operate off the hurt that other niggas have given to you. So now you're in this space to where, yo, if you're not trying to cuff me, then I don't want to talk to you. But simultaneously, I haven't put myself in a position to get to know you to want to cut all the rest of my bitches off. Like, why would I do that? Just because I met you at a coffee shop 2 weeks ago, I'm supposed to just abandon every single girl that's been in my life. So what ends up happening is, off the top, because women, as they should, have their list of demands, you're coming to me with a list of demands before I even get to know who the fuck you are. But the ass is still fat. So what ends up happening is, it's like, all right, the ass is fat. I'm going to try to fuck, but hopefully you're cool. And if you are cool, then things will blossom. But what ends up happening is, specifically with me, is I'll be hit with all these ultimatums before I even get to know your last name, and that will then turn me off. But you still got to finish your breakfast. So if I came to you with the thought process of wanting to hump you up, me not being compatible with you doesn't cut off the horny. Do you understand where niggas is coming from now?
I understand where niggas is coming from. But for me, speaking on behalf of myself, I don't want you humping on me if we're not compatible.
Ah, okay. The plot thickens.
Because I will say, for myself, how do I say this? Okay, when I'm having sex, for example, I like to talk. I'm a talking ass bitch. I will talk from sun up to sundown. When I'm having sex, I like to talk. If I'm not compatible with this nigga, we're not talking. And that's not fun to me.
You know, that's very interesting. And I just really want to break that down, the compatibility portion. So there's people in your life that's going to be there for a long period of time. And I believe there's other people that come in that are dope moments in time. Like, you have libraries and you have amusement parks. You have restaurants. Like, you have different things that you go to. So if I just view you as like a dope moment in time, then that's exactly what you are. You are a dope moment in time. Maybe you're a dope 2 months and that's our value to one another, but I don't feel like that should be watered down because I don't want to marry you. Now, of course, I'm exaggerating right now, but where I'm at with it is like, all right, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but for me to just meet you and then to automatically feel like, you know what, yo, I think I want to cut everybody else off now. That's a fucking Disney movie. There's no nigga on the earth that fucking operates like that unless you're Spanish. Spanish niggas operate like that. The moment that they fucking meet you, they want to fucking marry you. Army niggas operate like that. Lesbians operate like that. Now, I mean, they meet you, then they want you to move in with 2 weeks. But the average man don't operate off the strength of, all right, the only way I want to fuck shorty is if I could take it to the top of shorty. That usually what happens is you get to see how cool someone is. You get to see their conversational skills. You get to see how they operate when they're angry. You get to see how they operate when they disagree with you. You get to see if they're disagreeable as a person and every single thing you do, they don't like. These are all things you have to weed out. But sex got to happen because niggas don't cut the horny off.
Sex don't got
to happen with me. Okay, I'm following you. I'm just talking about the common man right now. I'm not talking about you.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm saying for the common man who's out there listening, who wants to fuck on Cherry Poppins. It ain't happening. Sorry.
So the only way a man is going to hump on Cherry Poppins is if Cherry Poppins sees a future with said man.
No.
Ah, okay. Continue.
Yo, if I'm being honest, like literally the entire year of 2022, that was one type of time I was on until about last week. And I feel like I make an exception for that one person. Because we are compatible.
I don't understand. Can you elaborate?
So like I didn't have sex all 2022 because I was like, I don't want to have sex until I'm tired of niggas fucking and then just nothing. Like,
I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off, Cherry, but this is very important. What do you view as nothing, though? Nothing is a relationship. So if niggas fucking don't get in a relationship with you, it's not worth it.
Like, don't want to go on dates, don't want to talk on FaceTime, don't want to interact, like, just fucking to dipping, like doing what you need to do to fuck and then dipping.
I'm following.
Okay. So I don't want to, and also I'm in a different space in my life where I care about energies and like the energies I'm putting, like I'm mixing with myself and shit like that. So this whole year I didn't have sex until last week because this one person that I love having sex with was in town and we are compatible. Uh-huh. So the question was, niggas not fucking unless you see a future. It's a yes and no because I will fuck that nigga all the time. But like, I feel like it will be harder for new niggas to be on that same type time as Kevin. Let's just call him Kevin. For niggas to be on the same time as Kevin.
So I just want to put words, well, obviously you're putting words to it, but I like to condense it so it's palatable to the audience. What you're saying is you don't want a nigga to just pull up on you, fuck on you, and dip. If you're going to be giving your body to somebody, you wanted somebody that you could at least vibe with, go on a date from time to time, have conversations on FaceTime from here and there, speak on the phone, text one another, get to know each other. Like, even if it's not some shit to where we locking each other down, I need to enjoy being around you, and we need to actually be around each other outside of the bedroom, because if we don't have that portion under control, I'm not even going to get wet to want to fuck you. Is this what you're saying?
Exactly. Like, be my friend.
And you feel as though that's not happening with the added fact that niggas just aren't interesting.
Yeah, I think niggas aren't interesting and niggas don't want to be, they don't want to have like those types of relationships.
You see, so the people that you run into, because you always talk about your adventures with dating, you know, and your close friends or whatever have you. Mm-hmm. What are some more stories that you've gone through for you to come to the conclusion that you don't want to have sex for 9 months straight?
What was the last
the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, man, fuck this.
I don't think there was a straw that broke the camel's back. I think that I was talking to somebody for a while and it ended to me tragically. And I was just like,
what happened? Don't put names to it, but what was the tragic ending that...
If I say the tragic ending, then the name, there's going to be a name to it.
All right, so say yeah. James. What happened? Just keep saying James. What happened with you and James?
No, if I say what happened with me and James, then people will know that I'm talking about me and James.
Yeah, people will know, but you're not saying James's name. You're just saying James.
James had a baby. Mm-hmm. James and I were dating. We went on break for a month. We came back. We were dating. And then James comes to me one day and says, hey, I'm having a baby. That, to me, was traumatic because James and I weren't talking about having a baby. And then James was still fucking on me while the baby mom is fucking pregnant, literally a week before the baby is fucking born, literally a month after the baby is fucking born. And I don't know. And I mean, obviously I was allowing it, but it's just like, I after that situation, I was just like, you know what? I just feel like I don't need men in my life. And I also feel like men don't be trying to go on dates and shit like that. And I think ultimately I would just much rather hang out with my friends. I would much rather put the energy into my friends.
Two questions.
A couple weeks ago, I was hanging out with my friend. I want to make a TikTok about this. A couple weeks ago, I was hanging out with my friends. One guy, one girl. We went out to eat. And at the end of the meal, the guy friend's like, oh, I got y'all. I'm like, oh, thanks. Right? So I was dropping him back off at home. And he was getting off the car, and I was like, yo, you know, have fun. Thanks for dinner. And he said, no, thanks for the time. And I don't know, that just really pulled on my heartstrings. Like he didn't give a fuck about paying for dinner. He just cared that he was hanging out with his fucking friend. And I just feel like niggas that I be dating, they don't care about the time. They don't give a fuck about that. I don't know what the fuck they give a fuck about, and that's why I don't be fucking with them.
Two questions, and I'm not going to do that thing that I hate where people ask two questions at the same time when you're supposed to remember the first and the second one. So, question one, was it established between you and James that y'all was fucking exclusively?
Yes.
And James betrayed your trust by getting somebody else pregnant?
No, he didn't betray my trust because he got that person pregnant when I blocked him.
So the woman was pregnant. The woman was on month 7 or 8 of the pregnancy. You and James is locked in for a month.
No, she was on month maybe 3. Like, she found out she was pregnant. And then he was just like, oh, I'm having a baby. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, we're not going to be... It's not my girlfriend. We're not going to be together. We're just going to figure it out. And I was like, okay, so... what's that mean about us? And he was like, what did he say? I can't fucking remember. I'm trying to block that nigga from my fucking memory. I don't remember what he said after that, but I was like, all right, whatever. Then like months down the line, he's just like, you know, I really want to be with you. I'm like, nigga, you shouldn't have gave me that option from the beginning. You know, that was never even a fucking option. What are you talking about? You sound dumb.
And what was this option that you're referring to?
To be with him. Like, he never, like, I feel like when the nigga said to me, hey, I'm having a baby, and I said, what's that mean for us? He should have been like, well, do you want to try and work this out? He should have gave me the option. Because then if I would have been like, fuck no, nigga, then down the line, I can't be like, well, you listen, you never gave me that option, because he did.
I can feel that. Nah, I can definitely feel that. And question two. And question two got to get stretched out a little bit because I have to put some meat on the bone before I just give you the question. So you're saying that niggas don't like paying for dates. Or I'm sorry, not paying for dates. My fault. I don't want to I don't want to put words in your mouth. Niggas don't like going on dates, right? And due to the fact that I'm the only person that's a man that's on this show, I feel like I have to speak for everybody. And I feel like if I say what I'm about to say, the vast majority of niggas would give me dap if we was in the same room. And I want to get your opinion on this. So here's how the common nigga thinks. Niggas like this, boom. I'm tapped in with Shorty. I'm speaking to Shorty. I'm telling Shorty about my life. Shorty's in my life. I'm speaking to Shorty every day. We hang out. We laugh. We chill. We have sex. Probably watch the same Netflix series. And if you look at his life outside of you, so let's take away you and Xavier chilling, for example, right? Xavier probably plays 2K. Xavier probably chills with the homies. Xavier probably goes to the bar like once a month. Xavier probably cops a bottle and just chills with whoever. Xavier probably checks his uncle from time to time. Xavier doesn't do anything that involves outings unless it's you. So Xavier doesn't have this thought process of going on dates because Xavier doesn't do activities. And I believe I can speak for most men where most men don't do activities. Niggas ain't hitting each other up to go to get dinner. Niggas ain't going apple picking. Niggas ain't going to brunch. Niggas ain't going dart throwing or axe throwing or parasailing or whatever. Niggas are only doing this with women. But niggas don't have this sense of wanting to do these things because niggas don't even do this for themselves. So I don't believe that it's a matter of niggas don't want to go on dates. I feel as though going on dates isn't a part of this nigga's regular life unless he's talking to you. So niggas aren't even thinking about doing that type of shit.
I need to clarify what I mean about not going on dates. Niggas want to call me. Niggas want to text me. Niggas want to FaceTime me. Niggas not trying to do shit in person. And you're not coming to my house. So what the fuck? Get off my phone. I don't want to be a pen pal. That's what I mean. Like.
Okay, so you don't have like a sense of comfort with Xavier, but Xavier off the top is just trying to come to your crib without at least going somewhere public to establish some type of rapport.
To meet. So
without establishing any kind of rapport, they just want to pull up to the crib.
Yes, or you pull up to their crib.
Ah.
It's probably a Philly nigga thing, honestly. That sounds real dirty, so that's probably what it is. But, yeah, or they just want to text. I don't want to be a fucking pen pal. First of all, I hate texting. Call me. But second of all, like, I like to do things. Like, so, yeah, that's the issue that I have. Niggas don't even want to meet. Yo, it's this nigga who been in my DM for 2 years. Literally since January 2020. The first year he was in my DM, I was ignoring him for the entire year. Then the next year, I was like, let me actually follow him back. Followed him back. I was like, oh, he's actually okay looking. Could have been blocking my blessings. We were supposed to meet in 2021 three times. And he canceled every time. Now it's 2022. We're supposed to meet three times. And when I say supposed to meet, I'm like, yeah, tell me where to be and I'll be there. And then he cancels every time because I know he's going to cancel. We're supposed to meet three times and he canceled every time.
So besides That's him.
Crazy.
Besides him. And I know I'm not gaslighting you. I'm not dismissing what you're saying, but I just want to get the question out there. Besides this particular nigga that's fronted on you 6 times in 2 years, the other suitors that have been texting you, calling you, DMing you, whatever, that's just trying to pull up to the crib or you're trying to pull up to their crib, have you said, like, yo, I don't really feel comfortable with that because I don't know you. Can we at least go and meet up somewhere? Have you said this?
Yeah. Oh, all right, I'll let you. Here's my schedule. Yo, I be screenshotting my schedule and sending it. Let me know when you're free. Niggas don't let me know when they're free. I'm not about to chase you, nigga. You want me.
So because I'm throwing this party, let me tell you, the niggas at Jack in the Box do not operate under this type of fuckery.
The niggas at Jack in the Box aren't coming to Philly.
But you'll be in New York for the weekend.
For the night.
Yeah, for the night. But you never know. You fucking never know. Might be able to link up in Jersey somewhere on some meet me halfway type shit.
I tried that before. It didn't work.
I mean, everybody's tried one thing before, but that doesn't mean you stop fighting. You can't stop fighting, Sherry.
I told you, I think I'm at a point right now where I just want to hang out with my friends.
And I like that. And I mean, because that's the bonds that don't go anywhere.
Then any nigga, male and female.
You know, not for nothing, those are the bonds that don't go anywhere. But, you know, throughout this conversation, I've yet to tell the people how I actually know you. So Cherry was one third of the Super Podcast, the Officially Street Podcast. Cherry is brilliant. Cherry does all kinds of highbrow, six-figure work. I mean, Cherry's multifaceted with her ability to be entertaining while simultaneously being a career woman. And Cherry's also a cancer survivor. So there's all kinds of dope shit that's going on with Cherry. So
I thought you were literally about to say Cherry's also a cancer. And I'm saying, how do you know my zodiac sign?
I don't know that zodiac shit. Are you a cancer for real?
Yeah.
That's fire. I had no idea.
But yes, I am a cancer survivor. I'm coming up on my 5 years in 2 weeks. Go me.
You know what I'm saying? And we're going to get drunk at Jack in the Box for that. So as someone that had a very popular podcast that ended abruptly, what happened with your show?
What happened with my show? I think that one of my co-hosts did not want to do the show no more. And instead of being able to communicate that, he was beating around the bush, being fucking weird. And for me, ultimately, what ended the show was that we were supposed to do an interview in New York. And earlier that week, I was told by one of my co-hosts that I am too abrasive and I don't need to check in all the time. And I need to calm down, like I'm being too serious, whatever. But most importantly, Cherry, you don't need to check in all the time. So I took that feedback. I drove to New York to do the interview. And I'm like, hey, ETA. One of my co-hosts is like, so-and-so said that he told you we weren't doing it. And they're like, I thought I told you we weren't doing it. And I was like, so now I'm FaceTiming niggas. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? I just drove all the way to fucking Queens from Philly. Are you kidding me? Fuck y'all and this fucking podcast. You are the fuck dumb if you thought I was ever doing this again. Then I said, you know what? It's not even your fault. I'm sorry that I just cussed you out. I'm going to hang up and call the other guy. Call the other guy. He ain't answer. Call him back to back to back. He ain't answer. I blocked him on everything. Haven't talked to him since.
Wow. That is the worst possible way to end the show. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, but I just feel like, honestly, if it comes down to communication with these things, like, if the nigga would have been like, hey, I don't want to do this no more. Hey, I want to take a break. Instead of, like, kind of beating around the bush about it, like, not really, like, not just being unenthusiastic, like, I think it could have ended differently, you know? Or not had ended at all. Like, me and one other person could do a show, or could have continued the show in a different fashion, you know? So, yeah.
Do you think you'll ever return to podcasting?
So, I have this idea for a podcast. Oh, I want to tell you so bad, but I don't want the world to steal my idea.
All right, but to answer the question, you are thinking about returning.
Yeah, so I'm definitely thinking about returning to podcasting. Honestly, I'm enjoying my free time of not, because, you know, we did that show for 6 years. So, and, like, never missed a week. Always on social media. I'm enjoying not having to post on social media. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying not having to respond to people, not having to be a presence on social media for now, you know? I'm enjoying my free time, really, like not having to record every week, not having to edit videos. So I'm enjoying that. I mean, I am working on other things, but they're mine. So it's different. And I feel like I like that too, because when you work with people, and especially in a creative space, if y'all don't have the same work ethic, if y'all don't have the same like creative mind, then there's going to be a lot of there not a lot of but there's going to be friction. Whereas like these things that I'm working on now, it's just mine, and I can work on it when I want. And yeah, like my daily affirmation video, I mean, I haven't put them out in a while, but like the daily affirmation videos, it's like, you know, this is my thing. I could record when I want, I could put them out when I want, and it's mine. And yeah.
So have you been able to really dive more into your career now that you're not in the creative space like that?
Yo, actually, literally a month, not even a month, yeah, maybe a month after I quit the podcast, I got promoted at work. I also got like started this. I have a business. It's called True ID Solutions. Basically, I do freelance instructional design, which is building online learning or like writing out online learning. So I like secured this like crazy contracts with the through my business, that I thought it was only going to be until December of this year, and they actually extended it till May, which is really dope. And yeah, this is my first time being a manager.
Congratulations.
Trying to figure that out. Trying, it's hard coming to work and you the manager. I don't know. I don't. I'm very insubordinate. So like, you know, as a manager, you're supposed to dress a certain way, but I don't. Whatever. Or like, I'm supposed to go into the office 2 days a week, or 2 days 1 week, 3 days another week. I don't. I might go once. I might. So it's just like trying to figure that out. I'm also trying to lose weight because your girl is fucking hefty. That's like my thing right now.
I'm doing the same thing. I went from 243 to 225 right now, and I got 20 more pounds to go.
That's awesome. I'm not gonna say my weight, but
No,
I'm
don't.
down 10 pounds.
Okay.
I'm down 10 pounds. No, 8 pounds. I'm down 8 pounds. I started taking it a little bit more serious a couple weeks ago. So just trying to like stay to that. Also, I have to tell you this. When I asked you about the cold and you said put on some leather pants, you sparked the idea for the outfit I'm gonna wear. And I can't fucking wait because I've been waiting to wear this outfit.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So, are you saying that when you pull up the Jack in the Box, you're gonna be snatched?
I'm definitely gonna be snatched. I you know what? I should set a goal. I think by the time I pull up the Jack in the Box, I want to have lost 8 more pounds. That's the goal.
Okay, because this is how I view it with my weight loss, right? I don't. Are you into football at all? Okay, so football is 17 weeks, 17 games, right? So the way I view it is winning and losing the week, very similar to football. So if I have a 2-month goal, I say I want to lose 3 pounds a week. If I lose 3 pounds, I won. If I didn't lose 3 pounds, I lost. And when I started looking at it in that, when I started looking at it in that capacity, so if I'm trying to do something in 2 months, if I can win 5 out of 8 weeks, then I'm probably going to be where I want to be.
I like that.
So I'd be like, I feel like that's more manageable. So every Sunday night at 8 p.m., if you're hopping on the scale, like, all right, did I win the week? Boom, I lost 3 pounds. Like, all right, cool. Let's focus on another 3 weeks. And all of a
Well,
sudden, 3 times 8 is 24, huh?
weigh yourself in the morning, though.
Yeah.
Not 8 p.m.
Okay, in the morning, got you. If
Yeah.
I weigh myself Sunday morning, and what is it, 3 times 8? That's 24. If I lose 24 pounds in 2 months, I'm fucking crushing it out here.
Yeah, you are.
Exactly. And I feel like if you adopt the same strategy, because Jack in the Box is 6 weeks from now, so if you say to yourself, like, yo, I want to lose 1.5 pounds a week, I believe you'll come to Jack in the Box with the most snatched waist known to man.
I think I could. You know, can I tell you something I'm afraid of?
What is that?
I'm afraid that while I'm on this weight loss journey, I have been going to the gym and I've been lifting weights. But over COVID, I have acquired a good little turkey. And I would like to keep it, but I'm afraid that I'm going to lose it.
Got you.
Yes.
This.
I've been in the gym. I've been lifting heavy. But I'm just like, man, I hope. Because prior to me gaining all the weight, I thought I had a fat ass. But then I'm looking back at pictures. And I'm like, girl, who lied to you?
Okay, so this is what I would suggest. I would suggest that as you're losing the weight, you learn to tone things up. So the way you lose your ass is like having a biking class or whatever. But if
biking grows it.
But I was told biking takes it away.
So have you ever seen the people who bike across the country?
Yeah, they don't be having no ass like that.
Yes, they do. Are you kidding me?
Nick, the women that I've seen that be on some bike vibes don't be having no fatty, son. No real ass. Yeah, they have a curvature because it's all muscle, but they don't got no cheeks.
I'm going to show you.
Don't send me no man ass. I'll block you.
I'm not going to send you a man ass. I got you.
All right.
But there's actually this girl that I follow on Instagram. I'll have to find her again, but she's like a black cyclist. And I'm like, she had to have grown that ass from biking.
Right. And, you know, not for nothing, on YouTube is everything. So I'm pretty sure if you put into YouTube, how do I get in shape without losing my ass? There's going to be probably a 25-minute video of a step-by-step process of what to do.
Yeah.
And that's all you got to do. Now, I mean, you take the six-week myth. I have 6 weeks. I want to win the week each week. And then, boom, you're going to see the stomach go down. You're going to see your midsection go down. I mean, I don't know if you're a waist bead person, but the waist beads are going to start getting loose. I'm like, okay, this is what Cherry needs to fucking look like. I like this right here.
I need to look like 2019 Cherry.
Because that's what happened with me. I was fucking blowing up, and I'm like, hold on now. Now jeans are my enemy. I'm not wearing certain t-shirts. And I mean, I got the bulge happening. I'm like, nah. I'm the fucking original. I can't go out like this.
No, but yo, can I tell you something? As I'm in my 30s, I like men that are thicker.
Women like you are the enemy.
Well, men that say if she ain't a lady, if she ain't 180, are the enemy.
Because every single woman in my life, as I was going through my weight loss, they was like, what are you losing that for, Tariq? I like that. I like this look. I'm like, man, get the fuck out of here, son. This ain't me.
I told you that at the live show. I was like, Reek, I like this body type. I told you that.
Yes. And I'm
here. It looks good on you.
I'm here to tell you I got to get my six-pack back. And when I came to the live show, I was 5 pounds heavier than I am right now.
Okay.
And then, so by the time you see me, I should at minimum be 215. So I will have lost 15 pounds from the last time you saw me.
Okay. What are you doing to lose weight?
Oh, that's easy. So I cut bread. I don't eat anything with bread. If I'm going to go get like some turkey or whatever have you, I'll get turkey and two sides of vegetables. I'm eating fruit instead of chips and candy. I'm drinking more water than ever before. I'm not really fucking with juice like that. And in the morning, I stretch. I run 2 miles a day. And on top of doing that, I don't eat after a certain time. And I make sure I drink as much water as possible when I wake up in the morning to spark my metabolism. And that got your boy looking the way he needs to look.
Nice. Okay. Do you run indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors.
Oof, what are you going to do in the cold? Or you don't care. You will run in the cold.
Yeah, you're going to laugh at me. But you know those YouTube shorts and Instagram clips of like all that motivational shit niggas be saying?
Mm-hmm.
I watch like 10 of them shits. I'm like, nah, nigga. Fuck that.
David Goggins.
David Goggins is the boy.
That's my, let my dad tell it. That's our cousin. But he's not my cousin. He's my cousin's cousin.
you know, David Goggins is the boy. Yo, stop being a bitch. Go outside. That is, if I'm looking at him, I'm like, yo, if you can run 100 miles, I can run too. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end
did
of the day.
Did you read his book?
No, I haven't.
I started reading it. He had a crazy life as a child. Like, the book opens up with him talking about basically how his dad owned a roller skating rink, and he was 5 years old working at the roller skating rink, and it was like an all-night thing, and they had a bar, and the mom worked there, too, and they would sleep at the roller skating rink, and also the dad would beat everybody the fuck up. And then the mom, and they had a lot of money. And then the mom got the courage one day to run away, and they moved back to Indiana where her family is from. And then they had to like get it from there. But the way that the story opens up, it's like, yo, what? And then he goes on and talk about how he gained all this weight, and then I think he did the diet, lost all this weight, and then he went and joined the Marine Corps, and then he talks about how he did it so many, like, trying to get in so many times. And then I didn't finish the book because I just came to a point where it was like, okay, nigga, you run marathons. I get it.
Yeah, so I didn't read the book, but he has two interviews on Joe Rogan that I watched that are both, like, 2.5 hours each, and that gave me, like, a good feel for who he is. You know, I mean, he got to 290 when he was 24 years old. He used to spray for roaches. And then the recruiter told him he had to lose like 106 pounds in 2 months. And then he fucking did it. Then he went to become a Navy SEAL. And the Navy SEALs have only had like 30 black people since its inception. And he had to do all this other type of shit. And he had to go to Hell Week for 3 weeks straight and all kind of other crazy shit. So, yeah. So when I see him, I really do get motivated because this is somebody that doesn't have like a discernible talent. Like, he can't play the piano. It's not like he's rapping or he creates poetry. He's just somebody who's fat, said, I don't want to be fat anymore, and I'm going to start putting myself in the most uncomfortable positions possible to succeed, and then I'm going to write a book about it. That shit is inspiring.
So
that's the vibe I'm on. I've been running my 2 miles and shit like that. There was a point in time I couldn't run a mile. Then I got to a mile and a half. And not for nothing, just as being a man, you have to keep yourself active at all times. You need to keep your body moving. You're going to lose your muscle tissue. This is why niggas start to develop back problems because they stop being active. And with me, you know, with COVID and everything else, I'm not playing basketball as much. I'm not playing football as much. Like, the majority of my time is me walking places or hopping in the car and walking just where I'm going and walking back to the car. So there's not a lot of athletic maneuvering going on. And then all of a sudden, my hamstrings tighten up or my lower back tightens up. Because if I'm going 9 months without running and then all of a sudden I want to play flag football, I'm asking to tear something.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, you can't do that at this age.
Not at all. I'm 32 years old. The days of just getting drunk the night before, it's over. I mean, I played flag football 2 weeks ago. Last week, I was on a trip, but I played flag football 2 weeks ago after not playing flag football for a year because I fucked up my hamstring a year ago. And after the game, I'm like, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. The next day, I felt like my fucking legs were on fire. All because when's the last time I ran full speed? Just period.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, surprised you ran full speed. So when I used to do... When I would play softball, like, for the intramurals, or not intramurals, you know, the league, the rec leagues, I would never run full speed to the base because I said, y'all got me fucked up if y'all think I'm about to twist my ankle out here.
I feel you.
I'm too old to be fucking doing that, and this was when I was 28.
Oh, nah. You know what I'm saying? Because with the... ego of a guy, you know what I mean? I was a college athlete and all this kind of shit. So I'm like, man, I don't fucking need too long. Just give me 2 weeks and I'll be back to where I need to be. And that's not the reality. Like, there's more things that need to go into it. There's more training that needs to go into it. There's more preparation that needs to go into it. More stretching, more hydration. And now that I know that, because the goal is, like, as of right now, I don't have any back issues. I wake up with no pain. I don't have any issues. The goal is for me to be in my 50s and feel the same way. And the only way to do that is to keep myself active. And the only way to keep myself active is to not walk around at 243 pounds.
I understand that completely.
No, I mean...
I went to recently, and they told me I got high cholesterol, and I was like, oh, it's all the butter. I love butter.
Which is something to, like, that's something you can control. You feel
yeah,
me?
Yeah, exactly. After they told me that, I said, all right, girls, get your shit together.
Time to lock in.
Yeah. So, first of all, I want to, the high cholesterol thing kind of scared me.
As it should.
But two, I don't have no kids. I need to be healthy. I just feel like if I get in a good shape, childbirth will be, it will be, I don't want to say flawless, but it will be smooth. I just feel, I don't know why I have this idea in my head that if I'm in good shape, when I go to have a baby, it'll be smooth sailing. And probably I'm trying to psych myself out because I'm terrified of childbirth.
Listen, the only thing I can say is this, because I'm not a woman. As someone who's lost weight, and I know you fluctuated with weight as well, the one thing that I've recognized is things that were once an issue become less of an issue the better shape that you're in.
Yep.
Like doing something like running down the steps real quick, or if you're running late, or being able to jog to the car, or taking a few steps, or doing laundry. Just small things that are just super small and you catch yourself like breathing heavy won't help you, especially with something like childbirth. So I just, right, as someone that's never going to give birth to a child, just common sense tells me the better shape that you're in, the better shape that you're in, the better the circumstances your body will be in when it's time to rear a baby.
Yes, exactly. That's what I think. That's what we're going with.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I'm having a baby's no time soon, but you gotta stay ready, so you don't gotta get ready.
Yeah, proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Yep. Proper planning.
Mm-hmm. So, we're running short on time. I got some things to do.
I got
to get active, Cherry. You know what I mean? I'm 225 now. Your boy is sexy these days. The people gotta see me.
Okay.
You feel me? Shit is going down. I just figured out what I'm about to wear, literally as I'm on the phone with you. So it's about to be a festive evening. My man is about to throw. Matter of fact, Kami and Lama. You know these two niggas. They have a party called Spin the Party, and I told him I'd pull up to that. So I'm about to get ready to show up to that and see what's happening.
Nice. I have been seeing that on my Instagram.
I mean, what you got going on for the weekend?
So tonight I'm in the house chilling. I'm going to prep my hair because tomorrow I'm going to a wedding. And Sunday I'm going roller skating because that's one of my new hobbies.
Yeah, one of my new hobbies is playing pool, so I'm right with you.
Say that again?
One of my new hobbies is playing pool, so I'm right with you with developing a new hobby.
Yeah. So I have two new hobbies. One hobby is roller skating, which I'm getting okay at. Just learned how to roller skate backwards. My other hobby is pole fitness. So I put a pole in my living room. And your girl be on that thing. My friends been coming over here. They're like, you're a stripper now. And I'm like, girl, not yet.
Let me tell you something. Just while we're on the subject, because there was a point in time I couldn't do 10 push-ups.
Yes.
You feel invincible when you have upper body strength.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is why I put the pole. That's why I wanted to start doing, you know, my little cousin. My cousin is a pole fitness instructor. She has an Instagram pole page. She got like 30,000 followers on this page. She's fucking lit as shit. And she's fucking strong. The way that she just pulls herself up, I said, nah, I gotta do that. I'm putting a pole in my living room and I'm doing that shit. I'm not as good as her, nowhere near. But the fact that I can get my big ass up on a pole and sit up there and spin and do a lean back and shit, I'm like, yeah, this, I never would imagine I could do something like this.
Exactly. That's how I am with the pull-up bar. If I can do certain levels of pull-ups, if I can do 50 push-ups straight, if I can do a certain level of crunches, just because I'm not entering like a bodybuilding competition, but this is just something for me. I should be able to do 20 pull-ups. I should be able to do 50 push-ups. I should be able to, you know what I'm saying? These are just things I should be able to do. So I'm right with you. The same type of thing that you saw with, you said your friend or your cousin, as far as the pole dancing.
Oh, my cousin.
Your cousin. The same thing when you're looking at your cousin, somebody that you probably feel is like not more athletic than you, but they're just better at something in particular than you. That's how I am with like this running and push-ups and shit like that. Like, you niggas aren't like more athletic. You niggas have just done this longer than I have. So I'm just in catch-up mode right now.
Yeah. Not my goal, but something I am doing, well, I'm trying to do, but I suck at it. I want to post, like, my pole progression on my OnlyFans. But my friends are discouraging.
When it's all said and done, do what you feel is right. Because it's your life at the end of the day.
Yeah. My one friend said, if you don't look like M.I. Quick Letter, don't post that shit up there.
You know, I disagree because there are more women in the world that look like you that than look like Mississippi on P-Valley. So I feel like you would serve as inspiration. Like, look, girl, look, we can do this. Look at me. And then I feel like that can be the situation.
You know what I mean? But girls are not subscribing to my OnlyFans rink.
Even niggas.
Maybe they'll appreciate it.
Even niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold on now. Wait. Cherry's on the pole. Because if niggas subscribe, they're there to see whatever you're going to upload anyway. So you might as well show them your hobby. Yeah. Or just wear some fucking biker shorts and a bra and just keep it moving type shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cherry, where can they find you?
You all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at I'm Cherry Poppins. That's letter I, letter M, Cherry Poppins. I have some stuff on YouTube at I'm Cherry Poppins TV.
And if you want to meet Cherry in person, she's coming to Jack in the Box November 12th. Jackinthebox.splashthat.com. Get your tickets. The early birds is up. Cherry, tell your 7 friends to hop on those early bird tickets so they can just get it out the way. Come correct when you see Cherry in person. Don't try to get her number in 45 seconds. Have a little bit more finesse. And just don't text Cherry. Actually come with her with some fucking plans and treat her like a goddamn lady.
Treat me like the goddess that I am.
Peace and blessings. Pass the dressing. And I will speak to you niggas on Monday.